You don't have to keep jumping around the dial all day.
Start your morning with Pensacola Morning News, weekdays 5 to 9. Stick around for Pep Talk with Meg from 9 to 11. Then it's MVR from 11 till 2, Hughes Hewitt from 2 to 4, and Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin from 4 to 7. One station, one day, everything you need to know. News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
This is it. One swing left for Jordan Walker. Can he tie Wilson Contreras?
I like that.
Something to watch for. Time. Contreras hit 490 already. Oh!
That's gone.
We gone.
All right, there you go.
I love hearing Albert Pujols' voice doing the commentary last night for the Home Run Derby. Jordan Walker, who is a rising star in the organization. He was the first Cardinal to make the All-Star game. We've had a couple of them added since. And if you're new to the show, I am a huge diehard Cardinals fan that had gotten into baseball as a kid. I was a Tigers fan, and then my family moved to Chicago, and I never acquired the disease of being a Cubs fan. Those of you who've got that particular mental illness, I'm sorry for you. I've been to Cubs games at Wrigley. They're fun to watch. I'm just kidding around. It's a friendly rivalry. But then I fell out of baseball kind of in college and then got back into it with the Maguire Sosa. So I've been following Cardinals for, almost 30 years now. To me, the Cardinals are the Tony La Russa era, not like the Whitey Herzog or that era. And, but still, I respect it. It's just not my era. Anyway, so in the modern era, Albert Pujols, that was super hot in baseball then. And the Cardinals have not been great in a couple of years, but they are actually really good this year. And Jordan Walker is a star. And, for him to be first voted in the All-Star game and then to be voted in the Home Run Derby as a, basically a kid who is our slugger, it was great. So he tied Wilson Contreras with 13 home runs in the first round. And the Home Run Derby had different rules this year, which, if you've ever followed it, every year they tinker with it a little bit. The rules this year, I actually was kind of optimistic about this. Instead of being a timed-based event, which tends to encourage people to just wear themselves out, one of the problems with the Home Run Derby is it's such an unusual way of hitting that it can actually have an adverse effect on the players because, instead of sending a pitcher out there to pitch like a normal thing, go out there and throw as many fastballs at the highest velocity you can in 3 minutes. What? That would be terrible for the pitchers. Well, same thing. It's terrible for the hitters historically. So in this particular year, it was based on swings. And so you would only take, in the first round, 20 swings. If on your very last swing you got a home run, you get to keep going. That's subsequent rounds. Anyway, so 20 swings, and Wilson Contreras had 13, and he had 13, which is, quite good out of 20 swings. That means only 7 of them turned out to be out. So in round 2 is when you actually have the playoffs. The top 4 advance, the bottom 4 do not. And Junior Caminero had 5 home runs, and Jordan Walker had to get to 6, and he had 7 swings left, so he was doing quite well.
I like this strategy here, though. He's not trying to hit him too far. He's just flicking him out, and there you have it, moving on to the next round.
Jordan Walker is going to the finals.
So in the finals, Kyle Schwarber, who I respect tremendously, is an incredible slugger. He's terrifying at the plate. He comes up, and his team is down by 2, and he's at the plate with 2 men on. You're like, oh, crap, we're going to lose this game. he just has that presence. He's a great player. Everyone who was a Cub is a great player. And so he's got 10. He's on his last swing. You only get 15 swings in the second and third round. So if you keep getting home runs on your last swing, you get to keep swinging. Otherwise, it's, 15 swings. So having 11 out of 15 swings is really quite impressive. Anyway, he's on 10. Spinal tap for you. This one goes to 11.
Yes, sir.
That's him yelling in the background. I think it was him anyway. That's incredible. And then he failed on the last one. So. Oh, excuse me. That was 9 going to 10 and then 10 going to 11. And then on his last one, he didn't get it. So he's got 11 on 15 swings. That is ridiculously high proficiency. And he's assuming I win. Jordan Walker is still to go, but Kyle Schwarber's like, I won. I got 11 home runs on 15 swings. Nobody can possibly do better than that. So Jordan Walker goes through his first, 14 swings or 13 swings. And, he's got seven. And so he's sitting and he's on his last swing. So he's way behind. He's got to hit so many in a row to make it work. So he's going for the eighth one.
That should do it. Get out.
Number eight for Jordan Walker tonight.
So that's swing
round.
14. He's got a beat 11. So on the one last, like you keep going, if you keep hitting home runs on your last one, he's got to get four in a row to win, to get to 12. So number nine on the last, like if he hits any of these on the ground or fouls off or anything like that, or it's just short, he's out. Okay, so he trails him by three. He's got to get four to win. Swing number nine, swing to hit number nine.
He has shown the talent.
There we go.
It's one.
So he gets nine. Then to go, again, he's every time he's got to hit a home run in a row every time.
That is so impressive.
Unless. Unless.
Closer still with number 10.
And if you're a Cardinals fan or just you're a baseball fan, you're watching this, and there have been some tremendous home run derbies. This was easily in the top one or two or three maybe home run derbies ever, just in terms of drama and impossibility and talking about a comeback. So he's at 10, and then... So he's at 11, and again, they would go to a swing off if he didn't get one. They'd just be tied, but with one more swing, if he keeps getting home runs.
Wow. Is that enough? Is that enough? Jordan Walker wins it! Sons of a gun!
Come on, baby!
He hit five in a row without missing to win the tournament, and I think my favorite part of all this, PJ, was the look on Kyle Schwarber's face.
I bet.
I'm sure there's a part of him that's like, oh my God, I just saw something amazing. There was absolutely a part of him that was, what the, you've got to be kidding me. What do I have to do? Mm-hmm. Well, you have to do better. 617 on News Radio 92. The first Cardinal to ever win it, which I thought, in my memory, I had Albert as having won it before, or, all the sluggers going back when they had it before. But anyway, the first Cardinal to ever win it. So congratulations, Jordan Walker, or Jay Walker, as some people call him. Anyway, let's see. Traffic on the fives now with PJ.
I-10 and 110 are both looking good right now. Highway 29 is accident-free through Cantonment. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives. History of the Blues is brought to you by Prim and Proper.
In October of 1985, the Blue Angels would welcome their first black pilot in the 40-year history of the Precision Flying Squadron. A native of Pelham, Georgia, and one of 12 children, Lieutenant Commander Donnie Cochran would fly left wing in the No. 3 jet. He flew with the Blue Angels for 3 years, rotated out and into other duties, and then returned to the Blue Angels for the 1995 season, this time as commanding officer and flight leader. In 1986, the Blue Angels celebrated their 40th anniversary, flying 65 shows in 36 cities. The biggest crowd by far was at the New York City demonstration flown at the 100th birthday of the Statue of Liberty. This July 4th performance drew a crowd of more than 8 million people, shattering the record of 1.5 million set in 1964 at Mexico City. This record still stands today and is unlikely to be broken anytime soon. By year's end, more than 200 million spectators had seen the Blue Angels in their 40 years of breathtaking aerobatics. The final show of the 86 season took place at NAS New Orleans on November 2nd. It was also the last show in the A4 Skyhawks, which had served the squadron so well since 1974. The Blue Angels would transition into the sleek, state-of-the-art FA-18 Hornet during winter training preceding the 1987 season. The twin-engine McDonnell Douglas Hornet was designed as the Navy's first dual-role air-to-air fighter and air-to-ground attack aircraft. It is a high-performance tactical jet which can perform fighter, strike, or intercept missions from carriers or land-based airstrips. Its combination of high power and lightweight give this sophisticated jet impressive maneuverability, rate of climb, and acceleration. All great features for a demonstration aircraft. The ones flown by the Blue Angels are just like the ones flown in the regular fleet squadrons, except for a few minor modifications. Weapons have been removed, and smoke tanks have been installed for use during air shows. But if necessary, they can be converted back to combat-ready status in just 48 hours. I'll be back with more after this.
Summer is here, and Prim and Popper is ready. From officially licensed Blue Angels and U.S. Navy merchandise to custom engraving and branded promotional products, they do it all right here in Gulf Breeze. Shopping for yourself, buying a gift, or putting your logo on something your customers will actually keep? Go see them. Visit primandproper.com or stop by their shop in Gulf Breeze, located in the heart of Proper on the way to Pensacola Beach. Prim and Proper, officially licensed, locally loved.
The Blue Angels enter Russian airspace and are met by MiG fighter jets in the next chapter of News Radio's History of the Blue Angels.
Bands on the Beach is presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, and it happens every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. You are invited to bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. This week, it's the Owen Finley Electric String Band Club. They're a collective of musicians led by Owen Finley, bringing a unique and wide-reaching sound to audiences on Pensacola Beach this Tuesday night for Bands on the Beach. Just remember, no pets or glass allowed.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us on Friday at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Hi, this is David Williams. I'm seeking re-election to the Escambia County School Board in District 3. I worked for 35 years in the school system, where I've made a difference in students' lives, where I help increase the graduation rate, making sure our schools are safe, and ensuring our students are college and career ready. Please visit my webpage at davidwilliams3.com and view my platform for District 3. Re-elect David Williams, Escambia School Board.
Paid political ad by David Williams for Escambia County School Board District 3.
Keeping you connected to Pensacola and the world.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, informative, local, dependable.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
I know that we spoke at the last meeting about the re-election time coming up, so I just wanted to give a statement to council citizens. After careful thought, consideration, and prayer, I have made the difficult decision that I will not be seeking re-election.
Oh, Ashley Fretwell is not going to seek re-election this year. I think she had been, she came in 2 years ago, and I think it was to fill a special term. I do not remember the circumstances, but she was one of the ones to come in and change the council dramatically in the favor of the Pitchfork Posse, and now she says that she is not going to be seeking re-election after 2 years serving office.
This is a lot of things, and I'm just going to be honest. So July of last year, the company that I worked for was bought out. I went from overseeing 7 to 8 facilities, just kind of in the panhandle, to over 20 across the state of Florida. My husband actually was in town whenever I was elected. He has since taken a job out of town. So that leaves me at home working 60 hours a week with 3 children. And it's been a lot.
Yeah, that would definitely be a lot for anybody to handle. And change of life circumstances is certainly an understandable reason to not seek re-election for a job that is, difficult, you know, for sure, and takes a lot of time and a lot of attention, a lot of mental energy.
I have learned a lot. This has been a very impactful, humbling experience that I would not trade for the world. But unfortunately, I am no longer able to commit to another 4 years, and I feel like stepping aside is going to be the best thing. Whoever runs for this position, I hope that they come into it with a full heart, just like I did. It breaks my heart because this was not an easy decision at all, but I am not able to commit the time that I need for my family and my children, as well as the full impact that, you know, serving the city requires.
Yeah, and sometimes you get into it and you discover, oh, wow, this is a whole lot more than I've expected going into it.
So I want to thank each of you very much for all of your encouragement, all of your positivity, and for believing in me. But unfortunately, I will not be able to pursue this another term. I'm hopeful that I'm still going to be able to serve the city in a different manner, but the late night meetings, trying to juggle a three-year-old and make it to wrestling practice and gymnastics and dance and, you know, make time for the rest of my family as well by myself at home is extremely difficult.
Oh, yeah. I mean, 100% understand. And by the way, I think for Ashley, even though she came in affiliated with or representing kind of the people that I do not support at all, I think she, you know, I think she's done a fairly good job. She hasn't been, you know, obnoxious and loud and a source of dissension. She's asked a few good questions and, you know, generally speaking, she's done, you know, kind of like she sounds, just a decent person who's trying to do a fairly difficult job, especially amidst a lot of difficult life circumstances. So wish her the best. And now we've got another seat that's going to be opening. I mean, it would have been open anyway for election in the Milton City Council. God love them, anybody who runs for those seats. 625 on News Radio 92.3. PJ's got traffic on the fives.
This is brought to you by White Sands Electric, providing comprehensive electrical and generator services along the Gulf Coast since 1997. Free estimates available, whitesandselectric.com. Taking a look at the big board, I-10 and 110 continue to flow smooth. Front gate of NS Pensacola is backed up to Interbay. I'm PJ through traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. If you have any kind of video production need, you need, for example, a meeting videoed, or you need a footage from outside of your home because you want to make sure that you've got it in case there's a storm, or you're trying to market a subdivision and you want a, you know, a drone to fly through the area and show people what it could be, or you want to go through a restaurant and that could be ground-based or a drone or anything else, Pelican Drones. Now, I know the name makes it seem like everything they do is drone-based, and certainly that's where they started. But Chris and his crew, they do all kinds of work with video of any kind, ground-based, meeting-based, internet-based, whatever, you know, interviews of client testimonials, anything you're trying to sell, market, present, explain, create ads for, whatever. And then you own all the raw footage, so it's yours to do with whatever you want. But, of course, they can produce it for you for TikTok, for YouTube, for Instagram, for Facebook, for TV, whatever the case may be. And they work with huge clients like Portofino and Visit Alabama and Innisfree and FDOT and FPL and Netflix. And they work with, you know, your cousin Larry down the street who had his home video just so they had it in case of a storm. I mean, anything you can buy the services by the hour, by the half day, by the day, whatever the case may be. Pelican Drones, I mean, weddings, Blue Angels is coming up. They do stuff related to them. PelicanDrones.com for more information. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Good morning, Andrew. Good morning, PJ. Well, the U.S. has begun a third consecutive night of strikes against Iran. U.S. Central Command says the strikes were at the direction of President Trump and will continue to degrade Iran's ability to attack civilians and commercial shipping in the Strait of Hormuz. This comes after the president said he is reinstating the blockade.
Well, not just the blockade, but the tax, the payment.
20%.
20%.
That's right.
Which is, you know, a lot, honestly. I was doing the math on this, and I think they were saying that it's $3 billion that goes through there a day. It's some crazy amount of volume that goes through there a day, which would put, you know, us at like I was just trying to look up the number. You know what? Do your other story, and I'll look up the number real quick, because the amount of money the U.S. stands to make on this is pretty substantial.
Very substantial. The back and forth is crazy, isn't it? You can't charge them. We're going to charge them. I don't know.
Yeah. You cannot. We will. Oh, wait. No, crap. Go on.
So let's see here. The parents of a Mississippi college athlete whose body was found on Horn Island last week are still waiting for answers. So far, no cause of death for 18-year-old Nolan Wells. His mother, Christine Wells Wansley, said she does not believe he drowned while swimming. Lindsey Graham's sister is expected to be sworn in this Tuesday for his South Carolina Senate seat following his sudden death over the weekend. South Carolina Governor Henry McMaster announcing yesterday that Darlene, Graham's sister Darlene, will be serving in his role until the term ends in January.
All right, very good. David, thanks so much for the update. Yeah, I did find I had it right, but I didn't want to say it wrong on the air in case I wasn't right. 20 million barrels of oil pass through the Strait of Hormuz under normal operations every day. That's a $1.6 billion price tag. At, you know, current market rate of about $80 a barrel. So $1.6 billion times 20% is, quick math, PJ. No, I'm just kidding. At $320 million. A third of $1 billion a day in rent for security services.
Wow, that's big.
That's
a lot of money.
Nothing. Yeah, I mean, you know, $300 million here, $300 million there. Eventually, it adds up to real money. You know, eventually, you can buy an aircraft carrier with that kind of money. That's what I always think of as my mark for value is an aircraft carrier in the, you know, $15 to $20 billion range. All right, David, thank you so much for the update. 6:29 here on News Radio 92.3. Informative. Yesterday I spent a lot of time talking about the medical examiner's office. I did manage to post that video so you can see it either on my Facebook page or on the News Radio 92.3 Facebook page, wherever you want to see it. And also, just FYI, I tell you this, I assume a lot of you know this and maybe you do not know. We have an app. The News Radio Pensacola app you can find in the App Store. One of the advantages of the app is that you can listen to the podcast from the show that you missed. So if you get up and get into work in your car at, like, say, 6:30, like right now, and you don't hear the 5 o'clock hour, well, guess what? You know, later on today on your app, you can pull up the 5 o'clock hour. Podcasts are always available. The entire show is available. Or at newsradio923.com. So if you miss something, you don't have to miss anything.
Fox News. Chris Foster. It's been three straight nights of airstrikes in Iran and Iran's attacked more tanker ships as President Trump says the U.S. will end up controlling the Strait of Hormuz.
The United Arab Emirates reported that two ships were hit overnight. Another ship was hit just off the coast of Lima, Oman. This was a ship following the southern route through the strait established by Oman in defiance of the Iranian route to the north.
Fox's Mike Tobin. Lindsey Graham's sister Darlene will be sworn in this afternoon to fill his South Carolina Senate seat for now.
Darlene Graham Nordone currently serves as commissioner of a state agency that provides job services, job placement and training for blind individuals. Governor Henry McMaster appointed her to fill the remainder of her brother's term in the Senate until voters elect a permanent replacement to take office in January.
Fox's Jonathan Seri. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 6:31 at News Radio 92.3, and right now we've got partly cloudy skies. It is 76 degrees here across the area. We'll get a full look at our forecast from Channel 3. Brooke Richardson, that's up in just a few minutes. Well, crews working to tear down the old Baptist Hospital campus say they're just about done now with the messiest part of the job. Project manager Joshua Wallace with Jacobs told Pensacola's city council and CRA yesterday that the abatement work, clearing out the hazardous materials like asbestos before demolition, is about 95% done.
Starting with abatement, good news being that we are about 95% completion as it stands by the end of June. So this month we will be complete with abatement throughout the towers and main hospital area.
And once the abatement is completely wrapped up, the city will get official documentation confirming what was found and what was removed on site. Well, a portion of Pensacola's old Confederate monument finding a new home at St. John's Cemetery. Crews began installing the base this week next to the grave of Edward Perry, a Confederate general and former Florida governor tied to the monument's creation. Cemetery board member Wesley Odom says accepting the full monument would have been too much, but the base felt fitting. The statue portion could potentially go to the UWF Historic Trust. The Supreme Court upheld birthright citizenship in a 5-4 ruling last week. Northwest Florida Congressman Jimmy Patronis says while the Constitution is clear, he does want to close the birth tourism loophole through the visa process. Patronis says the answer is in the paperwork before anybody gets on a plane.
There was an effort to try to curb the birthright citizenship, the birth tourism that takes place. And we got to go back and revisit that, you know, and it takes language in order to tighten it up. You know, I told the team, I said, when somebody applies for a visa to come into this country and they are coming in and they know they're pregnant, well, let's make that part of more the inquiry of why they're seeking a visa to the United States.
Patrona says the practice of flying to the United States to deliver a baby, often using emergency rooms at taxpayer expense, was never the intent of the Constitution's birthright citizenship clause. He says the 5-4 ruling suggested even some justices recognize the system is being exploited. Well, free parking for the Pensacola Beach Air Show tends to disappear fast. Last year, more than 3,300 spots filled up overnight before Friday's dress rehearsal show. That left latecomers paying triple-digit prices on private lots. Some businesses charge between $1 and $200 for parking. The sheriff's office says property owners can charge whatever they want. Speaking of the sheriff's office, they are investigating the theft currently of three air conditioning units from Brownsville's Assembly of God Church. Surveillance footage showed the suspects hauling off the units using a light blue tricycle with a mini trailer. Officials say thieves often sell stolen units for scrap. Commissioner Lumen May told Channel 3 it's a sign of tough times, but did say the community is working to replace the air conditioning units. Anybody with information is asked to contact Crime Stoppers. 6:35 at News Radio. Let's check in with PJ. He's got our traffic on the fives.
Travis brought to you by Mothers Against Drunk Driving. For victims of drunk driving, your grief is unique, but you are not alone. You always have a place in MAD. Call the 24-hour victim helpline at 877-MAD-HELP or visit MADMADD.org. I-10 and 110 are both looking good right now. 9 miles accident-free. Not showing any delays in Car City. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
We are going to be looking at a 60% chance of those showers and thunderstorms today. Otherwise, mostly cloudy skies with a high near 87 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 76. For Wednesday, mostly sunny skies with just a 20% chance of rain, high near 91. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 80 degrees. Heading into Thursday, mostly sunny skies with a 10% chance of rain, high near 92. And Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 81. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
We've got 76 degrees with partly cloudy skies. Our next news at 7, and breaking news anytime it happens. This is News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. JPMorgan Chase has reported a massive beat in equities trading, with revenue up 86% to $6 billion, or roughly $2.1 billion more than analysts had expected. It also saw a slight miss in fixed income, which was up 6% to $6.1 billion. That's just below the $6.2 billion Street Account had estimated. Tumbling oil prices in June are likely to provide some welcome good news for inflation, though it likely won't move the needle much for the Federal Reserve policymakers. Dow Jones economists expect the Consumer Price Index will show a decline of 0.2% for the month. That would put the headline rate at 3.8%. Treasury yields rose again this morning as traders' expectations for Federal Reserve interest rate hikes grow amid an increasingly fractured Middle East ceasefire. The key 10-year Treasury yield was more than one basis point higher at 4.622%. Futures are mixed as traders await inflation data. Dow futures down by more than 100 points. That's Your Money Now.
Onyx, I keep having stomach issues. Please make me a doctor's appointment.
Okay, are you suffering from diarrhea, bloating, gas, or oily stools? If so, you may want to ask your doctor if it could actually be a problem with your pancreas called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI.
My pancreas? How is EPI treated?
A prescription medicine like Creon, pancrelipase, is used to treat people who can't digest food normally because their pancreas doesn't make enough enzymes. Creon is the number one prescribed treatment for EPI.
Creon may increase your chance of fibrosing colonopathy, a rare bowel disorder. Tell your doctor if you have a history of intestinal blockage or scarring or thickening of your bowel wall, if you are allergic to pork, or if you have gout, kidney problems, or worsening of painful swollen joints. Call your doctor if you have any unusual or severe gastrointestinal symptoms or allergic reactions. Take Creon as directed by your doctor and always with food. Do not chew capsules, as this may cause mouth irritation. Other side effects may include blood sugar changes, gas, dizziness, sore throat, and cough. These are not all the side effects of Creon. You can learn more at 1-800-633-9110.
Before your appointment, visit creoninfo.com. That's creoninfo.com.
Dale's Marine Construction has been building high-quality waterfront structures in Escambia and Santa Rosa counties for 35 years, making Dale's Marine the leading marine contractor for seawall projects, riprap, docks, boathouses, and boat lifts. From planning and permitting through construction, the experienced foremen at Dale's Marine Construction are true craftsmen who do the job right. Get your dream waterfront installation started today and live the dock life with Dale's Marine Construction, proud sponsor of the Blue Angels.
When it comes to precious metals, there's only one place to consider, and that's Emerald Coast Coins. They're the local leader in dealing with coins and jewelry, gold, silver, diamonds, and sterling silver. Emerald Coast Coins buys, sells, and trades. And for the past 15 years, customers from all over the Gulf Coast have trusted Emerald Coast Coins for the best estimates and prices in town. Stop in today. Emerald Coast Coins on Creighton Road.
Nothing says happy birthday like an ice-cold Coca-Cola. So to celebrate America's 250th, drink in the fireworks, share bubbly hellos, and embrace every fizzy feeling with the refreshing taste of an American classic. This summer, pick up a Coca-Cola at your favorite retailer. Happy 250th birthday, America.
No opinions, no arguing, just the news. Right now.
Right now.
Chris Bryant, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Austin Price for News Radio 92.3.
Every few minutes, you get the latest local news, traffic on the fives, weather, and updates you actually need. So whether you're in the car for 5 minutes or 50, you're always caught up.
Always caught up.
Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin.
Weekdays 4 to 7.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 640 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. You know, one of the big questions, I think a lot of people who are not, like, in the, like, MAGA world, don't love Trump, don't believe in him for everything. One of the big questions that I think we have, you know, I voted for him 3 times, but I'm not MAGA in any way. We might align a lot, but that's just, you know me. Trump was a reluctant vote for me. The question that those of us who are not, like, in his group have always had is, would the things that he does that are bad for conservatism, bad for the Republican Party, contrary to the country, against whatever values of the Constitution that he happens to have in his target at the moment, would the country itself, would the institutions themselves be strong enough to push back or withhold the threat that he represents? And he just does, because he is a pure pragmatist, you know, in the sense of getting the thing done that he wants to get done through any lever of power whatsoever. There's no restraint. There's no respect for tradition. There's just, I want a thing done. I'm going to do it. Stop me if you can. That's his way of doing things. I mean, to me, that's a problem. To me, that's a criticism. I know to his supporters, that's why they like him, because he's effective. He'll do out-of-the-box things, which I understand that argument, too. I mean, look at the funding with NATO. I thought he was often mischaracterizing the things related to that. I think he's been very successful at getting NATO to do more to protect against a, you know, threat from Russia. We'll see what happens with China. But you can give him credit where the credit's due. He's done a lot of things right. But his general approach to the world is, if he thinks it's the right thing to do, then it doesn't matter how you get there. There's no consideration for means whatsoever. That's why, for example, he would threaten to veto or at least not sign the Housing Act, because Congress won't pass the SAVE Act. Those two things have nothing to do with each other. That's a completely ridiculous, unrelated, coercive threat. It didn't work. The law signed without his consent, and so it's over. But that's the point, is he does what he wants with whatever levers of power are available to him, and the question is, will anybody push back? Okay, that's all kind of backdrop and context to this whole business of the lawsuit against the IRS. That, do you remember, you know, how this had originally been set, that there was going to be this $10 billion lawsuit, and then in the end, there was a settlement created which immunized the Trump and his family from any future criminal cases involving their taxes, and then created an almost $2 billion, $1,776,000,000, remember, it was 1776 fund, slush fund to compensate so-called victims of government weaponization, which, you know, in and of itself might have been an okay thing, but primarily it was apparently meant to be for, you know, January 6th folks. And, I mean, it was ridiculous. And then particularly what was ridiculous about this was that it was the Trump Justice Department conceding or negotiating with or getting the concessions from the Trump IRS for a benefit that winds up going to Trump's buddies and the Trump family, at least in terms of the immunization. And, I mean, this is insane if you believe in the concept of checks and balances and limited power and, you know, the basic principle of recusing yourself from a ruling because you're too involved in it or close to it. This was the exact opposite. This was clearly self-dealing. And the idea that it looked like it was, you know, after they dropped the slush fund after the pushback, oh, well, you know, see, in the end, it wasn't all that bad after all. You know, no $10 billion was paid, no $2 billion was paid. What happened? Well, what happened is he got immunity, right, from any future prosecution. And, you know, he actually, he and his family got actually quite a bit out of this. Well, that seemed to be done because the settlement had been signed and we thought it was all over. Well, not so fast. U.S. District Judge Kathleen Williams, Southern District of Florida, had been, you know, basically done, but she says that she got basically lobbied by some other justices, some other retired judges, who looked at this again and said, you know, you ought to reopen this case and look at whether this is actually a case in controversy. In order for it to qualify as a case in controversy, you have to have two different sides. A settlement between two adverse sides requires that the two sides actually be adverse to each other. And she gave a ruling on Monday that said, yeah, this whole thing stinks. It's what everybody thought that it was. It was actually a case of Trump, through his government agencies, benefiting Trump. And there was no case in controversy here. So she said there'd never been a genuine controversy. The Trump-controlled Treasury Department was not on one side, and the Trump-controlled Justice Department or the Trump side was not on the other side. And she's also now sanctioned the Trump lawyers for participation in this charade, which everybody knew that it was. The nature of the suit itself, she writes, and the conduct of the parties and counsel from its filing make plain that this was an attempt to use the court to provide some legitimacy to an agreement to confer immunity to people and entities and affiliated with the president, and to earmark billions of dollars from American taxpayers to redress grievances not defined in the law, to fabricate a tort, and then to create a settlement that validated the tort that looked like we were saving $8 billion when, in fact, we were losing $2 billion. I'll come back to this in a second. PJ's got traffic on the fives.
Thanks, Andrew. Things are looking really good out there. I-10 and 110 are both flowing smooth right now. If you're on US 98 east and westbound through Navarre, that is flowing smooth as well. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. So she continues to write, the court finds that this matter was brought for an improper purpose to gain the imprimatur, sorry, I always want to mispronounce that word, of, it's just approval. It's a stamp of approval of judicial legitimacy for a settlement, in quotes, that had no viable basis in law or fact. So it blocks both Trump, his sons, businesses, government from using, offering, admitting, or citing anything from the so-called settlement agreement in any kind of proceeding. And the ruling comes after she took the extraordinary step of reopening the case. And essentially, there's just no two sides in this. She noted that the Justice Department had never attempted to answer obvious questions about whether such an agreement ran afoul of the Emoluments Clause, that's where the president can't get benefits, of the Constitution, or a law blocking the president from ordering or ending an audit of a particular taxpayer, so the president actually can't order them not to audit him, for example. Williams, this is the judge, said the fact that the government was able to unilaterally end the slush fund portion, the 1776 fund, suggests parties were not actually adverse. Like, if the government could on its own stop its side of a settlement where it's going to perform less without any agreement from the other side or itself being the agreement from the other side, well, you don't have two adverse sides. So you do not have a case or controversy. You have nothing that the courts can even begin to address. She writes, Acting Attorney General Blanche's apparent capacity to speak for both plaintiffs and defendants, sign a settlement document on behalf of all parties to this action, and then repudiate part of the agreement demonstrates that there was only one party whose interests were being represented throughout this case. They were pretending to be on both sides, and they were not. His lawyers, one of them, Alejandro Brito, has been recommended to the Florida Bar for potential disciplinary action. One of the other attorneys, Epstein, not the Epstein, you know, obviously completely unrelated, from appearing on behalf of clients in the Southern District of Florida for a year. She says this lawsuit was not brought to vindicate rights. It was brought to manipulate the judicial process to pursue benefits unavailable in litigation because the parties were not adverse to each other. I mean, correct. And to me, very encouraging, because what you're seeing here is a validation or a vindication of the structure of our system of government that has all kinds of mechanisms in it for preventing abuses. And I think that the Trump presidency, though, again, I think he's done a lot of very good things, and I'm not a universal critic. I'm just not a universal supporter. But his way of operating is, I will do whatever I want. Stop me. And so the question has always been, will anybody stop him? Well, the Republicans are not stopping him. You know, Republicans are doing what he wants. So will the court, will agencies, will anybody stand up, right, and do their part when it's necessary? And in this case, yay. I mean, somebody. I don't think it's over. I think he's, I don't read Trump's social very often, but I'm sure he's called her a terrible appointment, an Obama appointee. She's horrible and terrible and ugly and mean and whatever, you know, all the things that he does to attack anybody who disagrees with him. But this, honestly, this should be an encouraging ruling from the perspective that at least somebody, a judge, reopened a case that I thought was closed, and rightly so, said, no, this isn't even a real case. 6:49 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
If you've ever wondered what it feels like to fly inches from another jet, traveling hundreds of miles an hour, now's your chance. Hi, I'm Rear Admiral Kyle Kozad, President and CEO of the Naval Aviation Museum Foundation. Climb into a full-scale F-18 Super Hornet cockpit and experience the sensation of flying in tight formation with the Blue Angels over Pensacola. The only experience of its kind in the world at the National Naval Aviation Museum. Visit NavalAviationMuseum.org and report for duty. No flight suit required, just a sense for adventure.
It's time to love where you work and who you work with. Hi, I'm Melissa with Express Employment Professionals, and we are ready to help. Whether you're searching for a better job or your business just needs dependable employees. Every day, we're connecting hardworking people with great local companies across Escambia and Santa Rosa County. From skilled trades and industrial jobs to office and professional placements, we're here to help you take the next step. Stop by our Pensacola office or visit us online at expresspensacola.com. Express Employment Professionals, helping people, helping businesses.
T-Mobile has an exclusive bundle for customers 55 and up.
I'm Sarah Bowl.
Yeah, I'm Frank Bowl.
A reliable network is key for us. And with T-Mobile, it's been wonderful. And going to the 55 plus plan saved us so much money.
A lot.
And that's important. Trying to keep costs down. The home internet's been perfect. It's fast. It's quick. The setup was so easy. It took less than 15 minutes.
It was like, ta-da! If you want simplicity, coverage, reliability, you want the whole package, T-Mobile has it.
Right now, T-Mobile customers 55 and up can get two phone lines on America's best network, plus America's fastest 5G home internet for just $30 each.
$30 per month each line with auto pay plus taxes and fees. Minimum age 55. Pricing for home internet rely on two lines of Essentials Choice 55. $35 connection charge per line required. Best mobile network and fastest 5G home internet based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data 2H 2025. All rights reserved.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction tomorrow at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Pensacola's hurricane coverage headquarters is News Radio 92.3. With wall-to-wall coverage before, during, and after storms.
You know, there's going to be sex, drugs, rock and roll, chips, dips, chains, whips. You know, basic high school orgy type of thing.
Great movies that wouldn't get made today. 6:52 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. It's Bastille Day for those of you who celebrate. That's when the French celebrate their independence and the citizens of Paris stormed the Bastille back in 1789, right around the same time as we were forming our government. So historically connected. They went a little different way in the French Revolution than we did. There's some very, very good Edmund Burke, very good historical books on all of the distinctions there. Sedition Act 1798 became law in the United States, making it a federal crime to write, publish, or utter false or malicious statements about the United States government. The Chicago Fire of 1874 burned down 47 acres, destroyed 800 buildings, killing 20 people. It all started from? PJ, you're a Wisconsin kid. You should know the answer to this. What started the Chicago Fire?
I should know. I don't know.
Mrs. O'Leary's cow kicked over the fire bucket.
Oh, okay.
Doof. And it started, you know. Excuse me. That was a prior fire in 1871. I have a note for myself on that thing. Same exact topic. Terrible dark times in history. 1933, the Nazi eugenics program began with the proclamation of the law for the prevention of hereditarily diseased offspring. The compulsory sterilization of any citizens who suffered from genetic disorders. And we were not immune to some of these same concerns in the United States. Remember, the eugenics movement in the United States was actually Pretty robust for a time in the 30s. And then all of a sudden, you know, we discovered what that was all about. And for the most part, people abandoned their idea that that was good. And the United States, $500,000, $5,000, and $10,000 bills were withdrawn from circulation in 1969. Did you know we had a $10,000 bill in 1969 as recently as? Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
I just wouldn't, you know, oh, here's, can you break a 10K? For a bag of tacos, sir? Yeah, come on now, work with me. 6:54 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Today's prices, you might need the whole 10K bill for the bag of tacos.
Yeah, Andy. Well, or for, you know, fill me up. What, do you have a 10K bill? Break it. What do you mean? You need more than that. Go on.
Yeah, you got the rest. President Trump will address the nation in a primetime speech later this week in a Truth Social post on Monday. He said he'll be speaking Thursday at 9 Eastern. Didn't really provide any details about that speech.
Yay.
I'm sure you'll be looking forward to staying up late for that one.
My very favorite thing in the whole wide world, a late night Trump speech. Woo!
Governor Kathy Hochul is expected to sign legislation putting a one-year moratorium on data centers throughout the state of New York. That means regulators cannot issue permits for new large-scale data centers, which have, of course, seen a rise in demand.
I see she's also outlawed smartphones, the internet, social media, and the transfer of files, and GPS, and navigation systems.
Undoubtedly.
I mean, if they're not going to have data centers, they're not going to use data centers, obviously. She wouldn't be hypocritical and want the services without the actual infrastructure that makes those services possible, would she? She wouldn't be just like all of our local protesters.
Did I say that out loud? No.
Go ahead, David. What else?
And a Tyrannosaurus Rex fossil given the name of Gus is hitting the auction block today. And it's expected to fetch millions of dollars. The opening bids at Sotheby's in New York start at $19 million, and it's expected to bring in a whole lot more than that. So if you need, you know, something to maybe it'd look good, I think, off to the side of your pool table.
Can you cook it?
Well, your dog could chew on it, probably.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Yeah, I mean, you know, the war on data centers is kind of looking at the wrong direction. Why not have the war on use? You know, cut down consumption. Just say no to AI. Just say no to GPS. Just say no to the internet and social media. You know, if the demand goes away, the data centers will go away. It's kind of weird you're working on it from the back end. Anyway, John Pickens. PJ is in today with traffic on the fives. PJ?
I miss John every day. No delays on Oliver Burgess. Davis Highway is clear from the I-10 overpass through Creighton. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. If you need any kind of work done on your plumbing, your air conditioning, your heating, your electrical, any of the complex systems inside your home, generator, maybe wanting one installed or maintained, Peden does all of that stuff since 1969. You know, geographically, they started over in Panama City, expanded pretty rapidly to Pensacola, east to Tallahassee, and then west again to Baldwin County, even into Mobile now in the last couple of years. So two states, two time zones, all along the Gulf Coast. Good people putting in good products with good installation, 100% satisfaction guarantee on the work that they do. And this spring, you get 2 years, even though it's summer, you get 2 years of smart care for free with your new air conditioning system purchase in Peden. That's scheduled maintenance, priority service. So, you know, if a lot of people are calling, your calls get answered first or you're dispatched first. 15% off repairs, all included. Call or book online at Peden, PEDEN.com. Oh, I had gotten a couple of texts in here from earlier. We were talking about the cenotaph, the monument being moved, it being kind of moved over into the cemetery. Then the top part of it, you know, Rob Overton from UWF Historic Trust talking about doing something with that and maybe with the statue. And, I was talking about the Confederate flag and my own views of that. And I got a really nice note in from somebody who says, it's the first time I've ever heard somebody who's not a Southerner actually understand these issues. And so I respect that you, your own personal perception of the flag, and you recognize that that is not how everybody views it and also what should be done with it historically. Because, yeah, and that was actually something I had to learn, you know, moving here is, what do you mean you like the Confederate flag? You know, like that was weird to me coming here. But, you know, I listen and learn, and you don't have to adopt a viewpoint to understand it. And you can certainly believe in the preservation of history, even if you don't affirm the thing that you're historically recognizing. Had some people, basically saying that, it's vital to keep history because I'm in favor. Somebody, Michael says, I might not agree with it, but it was part of us and it should be taught to all of us. Right. And, you know, even back to the conversation at one time, Deborah writes in and talked about how there had been conversation around the walking tour of the history of Pensacola that might include, like, the steps had a Confederate States on it and then across the monument, and then that all went away. And I thought, yeah, that would have been a great way to teach and explain and contextualize history, which I'm always in favor of, even the history I disagree with. 437-1620, 437-1620. Let's see. Somebody says, oh, we should play the Bastille Day on Bastille Day. Yeah, I should play a little bit of Rush for sure. Let's see. Andrew, my niece and all of her top-knot friends and ukulele players. The coalition of the ukulele friendly. They're boycotting data centers right now. They think they're going to save the world and water supply and prevent the water wars. Well, but are they also not using their phone? Are they all, I mean, you know, the stuff that I mentioned. I hate to belabor the point, but it sort of does deserve belaboring. Because apparently we have almost gotten to the point where it's like, don't yell data center in a crowded council room. Because that's like, you know, this thing's bad and this thing's bad. Also, and data centers. It's like the scary word that we utter whenever we want to get people on our side. And the people cheer. And they bang on the
cowbell. Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and...